You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
You guys have done a great job for Bison Nation throughout the years here. Great to be on with you.
Last time you had me on, I told you guys were the best in the business, and I really mean that. Your coverage of Bison basketball is always top-notch, and the players, the coaches, the fans, we all appreciate it.
I mean, I think you and your staff now have done an amazing job with the Bison Report. Again, I think it gives NDSU fans an outlet to go to for good football coverage, elite basketball coverage, and everything recruiting.
You know, I really appreciate you guys, Bison Report, for what you guys do for Bison football.
Here's your host and publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglow.
What is up, Bison fans, and welcome to another edition of the Bison Report Radio podcast, brought to you today by the good people at Gateway Chevrolet. Joining me today in studio is our intern, Blake Ingebritz. And Blake, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing good, Ross. Disappointing end of the season, but a big day for NDSU athletics for sure.
It is. Anytime it's signing day, you know, I was on Bison 1660 earlier today and just kind of mentioned, like, yeah, it's not what it used to be. I mean, this used to really be the day that you built your program, and it still is, you know, but with the portal, with NIL, things like that, there's other avenues of roster management and kind of requirements of roster management that just didn't used to be a thing. But National Signing Day is still a pretty big deal. All right, into the news. Bison Hoops falls at Southern Illinois, lose both in the Valley road trip. I think the Illinois State loss is the more annoying one, as they had a pretty big lead. And it would be, you know, better probably obviously to be 8-6 than it is to be 7-7. If you flip that result, SIU is really, really good. They've got a guard there that's leading the country in scoring. He's a creator, and they're big. Had about his best game of the season. Just kind of everything he threw up seemed to go in. And it's not that SIU is not a good team. We're not making excuses, but that was just their play by play guy on the TV side said this was SIU's most complete 40 minutes. And sometimes you just catch an opponent on a night like that. That was NDSU's second game in 3 nights, and that's a tough ask to go on the road. And I know the Bison would have liked to find one of those two, but they will now return home after Christmas break. As of right now, Henry Sellards, offensive lineman out of Kalispell, Montana, actually a 3-star for us at 24/7 Sports, is still committed to NDSU, but did not sign, is not part of this class, and apparently has told the coaching staff he's not going to be part of the early signing period, at least not obviously what's going to be announced today at the press conference. Hadn't had a chance to meet the staff, probably wants to know who's going to be on the staff. The other, you know, young man that comprised this year's 20-person class were ready to pull the trigger, ready to rock and roll. Henry was not. As of right now, remains committed to North Dakota State. Hasn't deleted any of the social media aspects there, but wants opportunity to meet the staff, go through things like that, and right now has not put his pen to paper. The other bit of news is yesterday, Tim Polasek letting it slip perhaps, or just telling folks that he expects Tyler Roll, and I want to couch this because we're going to talk about it later, but as it sits, I believe was the phrasing, is the offensive coordinator here at North Dakota State, and we'll continue to call the plays. We'll talk about that kind of moving forward. All right. Kind of through the class here.
Yeah. So there were 24 guys, right? And so we've had three flip and Sellard, as you mentioned. So
right. Yep.
So we got we have 20 guys, 14 of them listed on our site.
Well, and really four flips, which we can talk about. But Bo, the kid from Batavia, yep, he's going to be at Northwestern. Then the Max Woods situation, and then they had two, and we're going to talk about this too because I even saw like the Kansas State, and they're great people down at Go Power Cat. Ryan Wallace is awesome. He's like, oh my God, they got him as a walk on. Sure, He's also a walk-on who got his school paid for by the NIL collective, which, by the way, is legal. I got no problem with that. But, you know, acting like, oh, my gosh, he'd rather pay to go to Kansas State than you know, be on a full ride at NDSU. No, it's not the case. He's not paying to go to Kansas State. Somebody else is paying. But that happened with Girardi and with Payne. And then, goodness, is that – that's the four flips, right? Girardi, Payne, Bow, and Woods. That's four. Okay. Plus, you don't have Sellards in the boat yet. No pen to paper. As far as guys that we think, and we know that this doesn't matter, but NDSU stopped kind of delineating this, so we have our best guesses. The guys we think are walk-ons, Kessel, the tight end from Fargo South, Reese Kessel, I would guess that that's a walk-on situation. Grant Knodel is a long snapper, local kid, Cheyenne High School, would guess that's a walk-on situation. McLean Miller is a right now a tailback from Northridge in Indiana, and I would guess that with Maxwell Woods originally part of this class as of, you know, last week, he probably wasn't the scholarship tailback for this class, especially after they had two scholarship tailbacks in the last class in Kelly Watson and Charmar or Marty Brown. I would guess that they didn't, again, have two more tailbacks on scholarship. My guess is Ryland Satter at fullback is a kid that, you know, if he probably get a scholarship in a couple years, but coming in, the fullbacks don't necessarily always have scholarships. And then I don't believe Noah Stomas from Eden Valley Watkins High School in the Twin Cities is a scholarship kid. I don't have any rock solid knowledge on that, but I believe that those are kind of the walk-on class.
Well, when you look at the guys who we think are, and Logan Conklin, and we talked about this just a few minutes ago, but it was so late.
Yeah.
That
he's not up on the Bison Report
right
thing. So I think, you know, from a scholarship perspective, they were able to add, and they've got guys going out. I mean, GC's going out. Giancarlo Volpentesta has to go out. Jake Lippi has decided not to continue on at North Dakota State. He's in the portal as a grad transfer. God bless Zach Mathis. He does not have any eligibility left. And you kind of never know with a Braylon. I can guarantee there will be massive amounts of portal interest in Eli Green. He's not in the portal as of this time. It's my understanding that Eli is committed to remaining a Bison, but you never know. And so they've got you know, some really exciting young wide receivers in Carson Hagerly that we've been waiting on, Makai Collins that we've been waiting on, Bryce Lance, even a guy that we've kind of been waiting on. But those are all bigger bodies. They kind of just checked all the boxes this year, in my opinion, as far as the three kind of positions that you'd see in this offense, would be the X receiver. I think that's Logan Conklin. You know, your big Hagerly Collins body type, your Zach Mathis body type, your Zach Vraw body type, going to go out there at the X, be kind of the primary receiver, and you know, beyond the line of scrimmage, having to beat press coverage, things like that. Your third down guy, your red zone guy, I think that's Logan Conklin. Your Z receiver, who can still kind of play a little bit of inside, a little bit of outside, I think that's Isaiah St. Romain, is a kid out of Williston, North Dakota. One of the first, if not maybe even the first, commits in this class. I think he's a classic Z receiver. They list him right now at 6'1", 176. Can he play inside? Yep. Can he play outside? Yep. He's going to have kind of that classic receiver frame where he's not super big. He's not a little gadget player. He is just kind of your classic a body type, classic kid. And Isaiah's a really good basketball player. He's a multi-sport athlete. And is an exciting addition to this class. Once again, I think one of the first guys to kind of send it on an actual commitment to North Dakota State. And then finally, your slot type, Jackson Williams from Omaha, Millard West. NDSU's been very successful in the Omaha recruiting area, and I think Jackson is just the next step in the Eli Green, Braylon Henderson, Darius Shepherd, Ryan Smith, that interior receiver that really gets after it at North Dakota State. And so they, like I said, they did a good job at bringing in kind of one of each and X slot and Z, and sort of let that class play out, you know, as it will. I mean, shoot, we go back to Eli Green's class. Eli was not certainly by any stretch, the most talked about or the most, you know, highly recruited kid in that class. Now, I said on the last podcast we did, he might be the best receiver I've ever seen at North Dakota State with the way that he's playing. I mean, we've got some Christian Watson memorabilia here in the studio, but you know, Christian was never as productive over a 5-6-7 game stretch as the way that Eli Green just finished the season. That is for darn sure. The offensive line, as we mentioned, potentially looking for one more three-star kid out of Montana. But Okeson and Tosted are two big old uglies from the state of North Dakota. Okeson playing at Bishop Ryan High School, 6'4", 281. I think that's your classic guard body type. And then Tosted, very obviously, at 6'5", 255, someone who's got to put on some weight. But I think that's your tackle body type. Might have some guard flexibility. I think they really like what they have in last year's center, Jack Lewinsky. Think he's going to be there for a while. They were able to preserve his red shirt. You know, he did not play any ball. So I think you've got 4 years of center figured out. Not that you couldn't have taken a center this year, but I just think they're really comfortable with Zach. Grab a guard, grab a tackle, and then, you know, whatever they think Sellards can play if he does end up, you know, kind of rejoining this class. The gem of the class, Jet Zabel, and that might go two ways. You know, we're aware of and have mentioned pretty significant financial offer to Gray Zabel from more than one Power Four school. And I'm sure, I have no insider knowledge here, I'm sure the collective at NDSU is doing what they can for Gray. Local businesses potentially doing what they can for Gray. But I would imagine playing a year with Jet is important to him. And Jet, frankly, is the gem of the class either way. Talk about Real Analytics, number 15 overall tight end in the class, in the country. 24/7 Sports, not quite as high on Jet, but Jet could have gone anywhere. Truly, Jet Zabel could have written his ticket anywhere. Had time, of course, with Lincoln Keenholtz, who was thinking about being a Bison, and then was thinking about being a Badger, and then ended up committing to Washington and flipping to Ohio State. He and Lincoln Keenholtz were a pretty special crew there at I think Riggs High School in Pierre. And Jet, I think, is like Joe Stuffel was a couple years ago. I mean, Jet's probably the biggest deal in this class, and NDSU over and over again, you know, showing the ability to really promote, develop, get guys into the league at the tight end position. I think Stuffel's going to have a chance. Babich obviously was in the league. Gindorf in the league. Ben Ellefson just retired. Talk about Veldman having a cup of coffee in the league. I mean, NDSU gives tight ends pro football opportunities, no question about that. The defensive line, Kyan Payne, you know, heading to Kansas State, that's not that helpful. But still, you know, really, really long and exciting prospects. And Wyatt Osterbauer at 6'4", out of Buffalo High School. And Zach Vanderpool out of Byron High School at 6'5", 227. I mean, that's, you know, all due respect to a guy like Jake Cav, a guy like Shaka Rokes, those undersized pass rushers. That's not this. This is another two more swings at the Kelton McCaslin body type, at the Derek Tushka body type. I mean, these guys are big, long, just waiting to get in there with Kramer. And I wonder if potentially, especially the way that this class worked out, you know, could Osterbauer or Vanderpool, depending on how Kramer year one goes, could they maybe kick inside and be part of that defensive tackle crew? I don't know. At this point, no defensive tackle body, and that's something that we'll talk about in the next kind of portion here. I think the best position, if it's not the wide receivers, I would say the best position group in this class is the linebacker group. Peter Hago, South Dakota State, coming in late, trying to flip him. Awesome running back and defensive player for Fargo North. Won a 2A state championship this year. And Peter's a really special player. I said on Bison 1660, just with his frame, his instincts, what he was able to do. I think his high school tape looks a lot like Logan Kopp. Logan, obviously, from a way bigger metro than Fargo, and certainly 2A ball in North Dakota. But Peter reminds me a little bit of Logan when I watch him work. And then you've got the long guys, the big long guys that Bison fans have been, you know, kind of clamoring for since DeLuca and Jabril Cox left. And that's Ray James at 6'3", 195 out of Eden Prairie, and going to De La Salle High School, as well as Donovan Woolen, another Frisco prospect. These guys are both a legit 6'3". Neither of them are at the weight that they're going to be at when they end up at North Dakota State, but they're kind of toys to play with. And I think certainly, if you watch if you watch specifically James play, I think, you know, they're really excited about Jaden Pickett, a kid that they got to early enroll last year out of the Milwaukee area, as someone to sort of take over that Jabril Cox, Jasir Cox role that was split by Julian and Oscar this year. I think he really could be a guy out there with a little bit more length and a little bit more athletic ability. But two really good outside linebacker prospects, again, kind of in concert with a guy I think will fit in either at the will of the mic in Peter Haugo. Defensive backs, you know, Jaden Price, no more eligibility. Who knows what's going to happen with Cole Wisniewski. He's got plenty of offers out there. I don't know how many of them are public, but that's what happens when you're basically the number one defensive player in college football from a grading perspective. I don't care how much weight you do or do not put in PFF college. Like, people look at that stuff. And you know, Wiz is going to have an opportunity to go multiple places. I'm sure, again, the Green and the Gold Collective is doing what they can. And maybe local businesses stepping up in that way as well. But Cole's got a family, or, you know, certainly married at the very least. I wonder if, you know, there aren't some pretty outstanding opportunities for him. I believe Marcus Shepard was a senior. He might have the opportunity to come back with COVID. For COVID, I'm not sure. But even Marcus was, by the end of the season, you know, kind of getting knocked down the playing time ladder. I'm not sure, you know, how excited he would be coming back. You lose Reggie King to the portal. And so these guys are going to have a chance to play. Will Style out of Cold Spring, I think that's your Robbie Grimsley. That's what I see when I watch Will's tape. That's who he reminds me of. Then Talon Edie. I'm not sure, you know, they list him as a corner on the website, but then list him as a safety in the press release. I think one of the coaches called him Mr. Versatile. We'll see what they end up doing with Talon. The younger brother of Bison basketball great Tyree Edie. And then I think your kind of classic cornerback, though, really impressive frame is Will Washington, Apple Valley High School, 6'1", 192. Any of these 6-foot-plus corners, if they can move, that's power four. I mean, if you can move, corner is tough to play at 6'1". If you have oily enough hips to make that work, I think you could have a pretty darn big deal in Will Washington for sure. And then Will Rosenmeyer, corner, highly thought of kid out of Rock Canyon in Colorado. I believe probably recruited. I'd have to go back and look. I would guess he was recruited by Coach Polisek or by the Wyoming staff, being a Colorado kid that isn't going to state or isn't going to the Buffs. He's an impressive kid too, and wonder if he doesn't have a future at safety or at nickel or what they might do with a Will Rosenmeyer. Folks, this episode of Bison Report Radio brought to you by the good folks at Gateway Chevrolet. Four-wheel drive season is coming, and there are a ton of awesome pre-owned and new options at Gateway. Check out the all-wheel drive Chevy Equinox. Check out the four-wheel drive Tahoes, Silverados, and Suburbans. Or if you want to fancy yourself a little fancier, check out a number of all-wheel drive options in the Cadillac family as well. You can see their entire inventory on gatewayfargo.com, as well as just stopping right on by the I-29 frontage road in Fargo.
All right. So now that we've gone through the guys that are here, I'm going to talk a little bit about the Max Woods situation. So he was a big Minnesota Mr. Football.
Right? Yep.
And now he's going to our biggest rival.
Yeah. That one's an interesting one. I'm not sure how much, you know, we're going to say, and some of it, you know, could come across as sour grapes. I don't really know with 100% certainty that was just a solid flip. I don't know enough about the situation, but I will just say I'm not sure that South Dakota State just came in and flipped Maxwell Woods. And it didn't, you know, very rarely. And some of this is just kind of me looking into it. And some of this is based in, you know, some stuff that I've heard. And again, we're not going to get into anything other than I'm just not sure it was a straight flip. And oftentimes, too, you won't see the gap. And what I mean by that is, like, 6-7 days went by from deleting his commitment tweet to NDSU and kind of scrubbing social media of his NDSU stuff to then he announces his new destination. That almost always happens on the same day. You know what I mean? I mean, that almost always happens, like Kyan Payne, bang, committed to K-State. Well, that sucks. You know, you see that stuff, but it's almost always the same day, not with a week gap. So, but without knowing anything other than that, I just want to say it's a different situation. I don't know that it was just straight up, hey, would you rather come to South Dakota State? I don't know that I actually believe that that is what went on there.
When you look just at other guys in the that have left, you know, Ryan Bowe, there's...
Yeah, Ryan Bowe, that's a tough one. I don't know that anything would have changed. You know, the friendship between David Braun and Matt Entz, maybe that was the thing stopping Northwestern from snagging NDSU's quarterback. But maybe not, right? Batavia, by the way, is way closer to Northwestern than it is to North Dakota State. If he actually makes it, he's going to play quarterback in the Big Ten an hour from his house. That I think, is a difficult sell. And of course, I mean, without question, NDSU has had more success developing pro quarterbacks than Northwestern, both all time and, you know, over the last 15 years. But it's still Big Ten football an hour from his house. That's tough to deal with. And the QB situation is interesting. You know, we've been in touch with a couple of kids and even put out a little VIP post on the board. But NDSU hasn't fired on an offer yet, at least not one that's been made public. And I don't know what they'll do. I know that high school kids, and especially quarterbacks specifically, are really frustrated with the portal. And I get it, 100%. I mean, there used to be kind of an order to this, and now it's just chaos. And that second level of high school quarterback, I think, is really frustrated when either they're committed and then a kid with 3 years of eligibility transfers in, or these teams with coaches that are kind of trying to get to the next stop. Like, not every – I mean, Tim Polasek loves it here. If Tim Polasek in 5 years gets offered the Iowa Hawkeye job, he's leaving. Okay, so, like – This is not necessarily the destination job for a head coach. And frankly, there are very few destination jobs in the country. Even, you know, I think, and I don't know why Arkansas is catching a stray here, but I think if things went really well for the coach at Arkansas, he would still probably take the Georgia job. He would still probably take the Alabama job. There are places to go up even from some of the top jobs in the country. So these coaches that want to win, they want to win now. That's what the boosters expect. That's what's best for the coach's career. It's a lot more fun to bring in a 21, 22-year-old quarterback and just say, hey, go nuts, than try to develop an 18-year-old quarterback. And I think that's really frustrating for kids that are just looking around. One other name, though, I will note, just to pay attention to, is a Wisconsin Badgers portal kid. I don't know anything other than it's a very interesting follower list that he has, and his timeline, if you will, matches up well with what North Dakota State is going to lose. Miles Burkett has 3 years of eligibility remaining. He is a Milwaukee kid that spent the last couple of years with the Badgers. But here's a list of people who are following him on X. Director of Football Recruiting and Player Personnel, Ian Dino. Football Recruiting and Operations Assistant at North Dakota State, Zach Peters. Wisconsin Area Recruiter for North Dakota State, Nick Gazer. Former Bison Head Coach, Matthew Entz. And North Dakota State Offensive Coordinator, Tyler Roll. I'm paying attention to what might lead you to water. And I don't know, you know, with the kid with 3 years of eligibility, if that necessarily, okay, maybe you don't take, you probably take a walk-on quarterback at the very least. NDSU's done that in the past just to have an arm for practice in that class. So I don't know if a kid like Miles Burkett would stop them from taking a quarterback, and we'll get into that a little bit later. Real quickly, I'll talk about the NIL collectives paying for walk-ons. Like, we know that. Okay, we know that happened with Kyan Payne. We know that happened with Kyler Girardi, and it's a hell of a way to weaponize you know, what is NIL? Most people think NIL is a retention piece. Oh, this school wants me. Do you have any money? Or the other end of that, which is we really like this kid. Hey, you know, would you leave North Dakota State, Grant Nelson, to come to Alabama if we gave you this much money? But the idea of picking off lower level schools, top kids, and just paying for them to go to your school without using an NCAA scholarship, it's annoying, but it's kind of genius. And that has what has gone on with two kids at the NDSU, out of the NDSU class. And it's just something that they're going to have to deal with moving forward as, frankly, you know, like, for example, I happen to know that the Minnesota Gopher Collective is not able to do that right now. They can't pay for walk-ons to come to the Gophers. That's not their priority. They're not funded to that degree. But if they get more organized, if Iowa State gets more organized, if, you know, Nebraska decides to use their NIL to do things other than give bazillions of dollars to Donovan Raiola, you know, that could become more of an issue moving down the road.
So Polisek, something I found very interesting on Monday was he was very emphatic about leveraging the portal. So with that being said, who does, and we, this is what you talked about, going to get guys for the last 2 years or 3 years or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
So who does NDSU need to go after in the portal?
So I think, you know, one thing that NDSU really struggled with as COVID hit, as the portal hit, and as guys, you kind of opted out of that spring season, they lost a lot of experience and then replaced those players mostly with high school guys. And honestly, too, a couple with, like, guys with 1 year left to play, and then they're gone. So you're replacing experience with inexperience. You're replacing a 22-year-old with an 18-year-old, and then there's a development gap there. And I think that's a gap that you might see closed when Tim Polisek is the coach, in the sense of, okay, we're going to sign 20 high school kids in the first go-round. We're going to sign 6 high school kids in the late signing period. And then if we've lost 8 kids to the portal, we're going to try and sign 8 kids from the portal and replace experience with experience, or at least attempt to do that. As far as holes in the roster, I mean, you can do some basic investigation and pretty much come across with the idea that they are looking to upgrade the secondary with experienced players. I think that was an obvious weakness at times. Teams were able to throw on them. You know, I think there's some good things about Jaden Price. I don't think he would ever be mistaken as a shutdown cover corner. Marcus Shepard had the ball thrown over his head too many times for my liking. Sam Young it does not have the range to be a shutdown pass coverage safety. Wisniewski was great, but that's one guy. And look, they can be super excited about Jalen Crumby, Jaquise Alexander, Jalen Duffy. That's the development piece. But to throw some experienced dudes in with this group of incoming true freshmen, throw some experienced dudes in and really try to reshuffle or reassess what they have in the defensive backfield, I think that's going to be important for them moving forward. I don't think, and you know, you lose a kid like Max Rader, you lose a number of kids out of these couple of classes. You know, we've heard on the offensive line side is the class of 21 and 22 just hasn't worked out that well. The kids that were brought in on the offensive line, I don't know that, you know, you saw him inactive a couple times. Like Isaac Zadichka was a Mizzou transfer in. You know, you didn't see him on the playoff roster, and that doesn't mean that he can't develop, compete, stuff like that. But that's not a great sign either. Right now, we mentioned looking at retaining Gray Zabel. That's a big, big deal. But Gray, Mason, now does Mason play guard next year again, or does he go back to tackle? He's 6'7". They love Jack Lewinsky. I think he's going to be a 4-year starter at center. But you get Gray back, you get Mason back, and fine, hand the job over to Jack at center. You still have 2 open spots left on that offensive line and no depth other than if you're assuming Jake Rock is a starter. You know, does Hunter Pontius come back to provide some tackle depth? Okay. Interior starters, interior depth is a complete question. Who's the backup center? probably Hayden Johnston, but who's the backup guards? Who are the starting guards? You know, does Rock, okay, if Rock plays guard and you kick Mason Miller out to tackle, who's the other guard? Where does Gray play? I mean, there are, you know, questions on questions. I think last year's class with Schultz out of Moorhead with Bo Johnson. Bo Johnson was a big deal. You know, I don't know if those kids are going to be ready. You've seen some offers out to a Villanova offensive lineman. His name is currently escaping me. Like, they're involved, okay? They are involved in the portal on the O-line, and I think they might be. And then, as I said, the quarterback position, I think they're at least going to poke around and take a look and see it. If Miles Burkett wants to be a Bison, I think that's something that they might look into. And I don't know, I mean, I hope so, but I don't know, that both Cam Miller and Cole Payton are returning. I don't know that.
So that's what needs to be done on the high school side of it, because the landscape of it has just changed so much.
Yeah, I think you're probably looking for a high school running back, but not worried about it too much. As I mentioned, you know, some people ask me, "Oh, Maxwell Woods," and I'm not here to dump on Maxwell Woods the player, but I just said simply, like, hey, you know, they redshirted Kelly Watson successfully, and they redshirted Marty Brown successfully. There's two tailbacks that they think pretty highly of with 4 years to play. And so I don't know if even a back in this class is going to be a super high priority, especially, you know, you get McLean Miller in as a tailback. You get Owen Johnson back from injury. TK Marshall hasn't announced he's going anywhere. Barika Panu has not announced that he's going anywhere. Like, there are backs on campus. Does that mean you still won't burn a scholarship to try and find another high school back? I'm not sure. No defensive tackle bodies. I think that's important, though. That whole room has opportunity to come back. Both Mostarts can come back. Heisman can come back. Duty can come back. Javi can come back. And then you get one of our favorite kids. I think his last name is Huber, Keegan Huber. No, that's a different. Now I'm going to feel bad because I forgot the young man's name. Keenan Wilson. Not Keegan Huber, Keenan Wilson. Keegan Huber was a defensive back. I'm losing my darn mind. So maybe a D tackle body. And I would try to get Sellards back for sure. I mean, they don't just build 3-star offensive linemen that are committed to NDSU. Now, has NDSU sent 0-star after 0-star to the league? You're darn right. But I think you want, you know, a talented kid, a highly thought of kid in the building, especially when, you know, like I said, class of 21 O-line, class of 22 O-line has either kind of transferred or not worked out yet. Bring in bodies, man. Bring in bodies. And then I think you got to find the quarterback. Even if Burkett comes in, I'm not sure that you just stop whatever it was you were doing. You know, I think we've mentioned a couple kids that have some NDSU followers. Ty Robinson's a 6'4" Florida kid. I think he's a little bit frustrated with the portal right now, but he's followed by some people. And then Graham Beckman is a Cam Miller clone, about a 6'1", 200-pound kid out of Iowa who threw for 59 passing touchdowns in 2 years as a starter. You know, would you like your QB to look like Cole Payton and be 6'4", 240? Yeah, but you're also not Nebraska. You know, you're not Iowa. You're kind of fishing in other waters. The Trey Lances that look like that don't just grow on trees. And sometimes dumb schools want them to play safety. you kind of have to luck into some stuff. So getting the QB is a big deal. And I'm going to just say one thing here, and it's maybe going to ruffle some feathers, but I'm going to say it anyway. I think it is notable that thus far, the tweet that we created, where Tim Polasek says that Tyler Roll is returning, was not interacted with by Tyler Roll, was not interacted with by Cam Miller or really any other active Bison. I wonder if that's not still being worked through.
Yeah, there's time, right, for him to get a chance, right?
All I'm going to say is if he was really back, and you think about all of the support that he got, the guys that are for sure coming back, not thinking about the portal, not thinking of this, that, or other, that are going to be Bison, you got to think they would have at least liked the tweet, if not quoted it and been like, hell yeah, let's go. And there was none of it.
No, not, I didn't see one. Yeah, like, yeah, damn straight. Like,
right.
No.
Plenty of news sources, plenty of fans, plenty of people saw it. It's our job to report it. The head coach said it. Like, that's newsworthy. I think it's notable that nobody on the team is really even acknowledging, you know, that it was said. All right. Thank you so much to Blake Ingebrigtsen for stopping on by and making this podcast a possibility. Thank you to our sponsors at Gateway Chevrolet, and thank you to all you wonderful people for listening. Have a phenomenal rest of your week, and go Bison.